It now gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker tonight. Visiting us from Santa Maria, may I introduce Cody.
My name's Cody and I'm an alcoholic. First off, I'd like to thank Karen for giving me this opportunity and asking me to speak tonight. She asked me at our speaker meeting last month and said, you know, it was the 11th of next month that she was looking to fill. She had an opening and I didn't hesitate to say yes, even though I said that I had to reach out to my sponsor and see if, you know, everything was okay. And as I'm later that night, I'm reaching out to my sponsor and waiting for him to give me an excuse, but they say something like, oh, no, you're not quite ready yet. It dawned on me that the 11th of next month, 7-11, that's my sober birthday, 1 year, tonight. And one blessing that I've learned in this program in sobriety is to listen to God speaking to us. I mean, if that's not a God shot, I don't know what is. I would like to thank my sponsor for patiently guiding me over this past year. With him, I wouldn't have been able to be here tonight. I'd like to thank all my brothers and sisters from my home group. It goes to any length. Group Alcoholics Anonymous. I really appreciate seeing everybody here tonight. Because of them, from the moment I came in this time around, I finally found a place. I finally felt welcome. I finally understood why I felt the way I did my entire life. From as long as I can remember, I always felt different, felt excluded, felt alone. Just something deep down inside of me, I felt something was seriously wrong, but I could not put a finger on it. And that wasn't until this time around and learning that I am an alcoholic, accepting that I'm an alcoholic and understanding what that means. And I truly feel at home here. So to start from the beginning, 1982 in San Diego, I was born an alcoholic. And I say that I was born an alcoholic because I really believe that I was born with a disposition, the alcoholic gene, if you will. Because of life circumstances, everything that happened just helped perpetuate that and fuel my alcoholic tendencies. Alcoholism and substance abuse run pretty heavy on my father's side. My father, kind of borderline alcoholic, definitely in his older years, but he didn't find out who his real father was until he was 55 years old. And that kind of just sums up that whole side of the family. I remember his brother coming to visit when we were really young. And I'd be super excited that Uncle Mark was coming to town, and he'd show up and be so tired from the long drive and working all these hours. He'd take a nap on our couch for about a week. And it didn't dawn on me till quite a few years later what really was going on. My mother's side of the family, no real alcohol or drug abuse, but definitely mental illness, anxiety, depression, OCD, borderline personality disorder, and touches of schizophrenia. My mother has battled with depression her entire life, on and off medication. I as well have battled with depression, mostly alcohol-induced. Alcohol is a depressant after all. Let's see, many other things that help perpetuate my alcoholism at a young age. I had a speech impediment growing up, which further differentiated me from my other peers. And while a lot of my friends and classmates were going off to advanced classes, I can't remember the name of it, doesn't matter. But anyway, they were going off to special classes, and I was going to see a speech therapist to learn how to make my ahs sound like r's. Also, I had asthma as a kid, very, very bad asthma, which hospitalized me several times a year. I was given a breathing machine, nebulizer, to do my own treatments, and that gave me my first high. I didn't realize that's what it was. I just thought that's what medicine did. But that thing got me humming. to where I could hear like electricity going through the light bulbs. It was intense. I was also given a steroid inhaler to use at my own free will, and that taught me chemical dependence. I remember leaving the house and just feeling absolutely perfect. And I'd get out the door and I forgot I didn't have my inhaler with me and right into a panic and an attack. And if anybody's struggled with asthma, anybody knows anybody, it's extremely scary to not be able to breathe, to struggle. So for someone that couldn't run 100 feet without going into an asthma attack, I absolutely fell in love with a dirt bike that my dad got us when I was very young. I was 6 years old when I learned how to ride, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the adrenaline that it gave me, really, and my first chance of escape. I could get on that thing and I could go anywhere. Like I said, I was born in San Diego. First few years of my life lived in Mission Hills, which is towards downtown. And then by the time I was four, we moved out to Alpine, kind of rural area, and we had like 8 acres of property, and we're amongst the Cleveland National Forest. So there was just tons of trails that I could go and just disappear on. And I love that. And I did that until I was nine, and it was the week before Easter. And me and my brothers, I got two older brothers, I'm the youngest. And we're supposed to be helping my dad in the orchard doing the annual tree trimming, pruning. And as the day got started, you know, went about, you know, doing our business, working, helping dad. And I get a phone call from a elementary school friend. And he had a little Honda 50 dirt bike, just like I did. And wanted to come over because his dad just got him a new bike and it was bigger and had a clutch and gears and everything. And reluctantly, my parents let him come over, and so we spent all day riding around while my brothers helped my dad in the orchard and plotted my demise. Throughout the day, we got tired of riding around within eye and ear shot of the house, and I talked my parents to let me go down to the neighbor's house. It was an old veteran we used to go down and do yard work for, and wanted to show him my friend's cool new bike. And so we go racing down there, and of course I've got to be faster than my friend because he's got the cool bike, and I got to, you know, be cooler than him, and go speeding down the hill and turn a blind corner, and a van was coming up and just slammed into me, knocked me off my bike off into the bushes, pretty severe accident, broke my femur, compound fracture to my tibia, lower leg. A few surgeries later. And even to this day, my right leg is almost an inch longer. So aside from that, alcohol, there is substance abuse in my story, but alcohol has always been the baseline. First taste of alcohol was probably 4 or 5 years old. I don't really know exactly, but stealing sips of my dad's brandy or his beer or my mom's white Russian that I downed gave me my first drunk. But I didn't knowingly, willingly drink alcohol to get drunk until I was 15. Before that, it was always just a game to me to sneak a sip here or there. So at 15, my middle brother, he, like I said, he got me my first drunk. We went to his Christmas party for the place he was working at, a little barbecue joint. And I drank everything that they handed me, and I came alive. You know, I could dance all of a sudden, all the things, you know, I could talk to people. Just felt great. I remember riding home with my brother and saying something along the lines of, so this is what drunk is. This is what everybody talks about. Absolutely no hangover. The second time I drank, though, a little bit different story. It was with my cousins, all of them which are older on my mom's side of the family, which I kind of grew up with. I almost got two sisters, all those cousins. They came around during all the holidays and everything, so all the cousins would do a poker game about once a month, and this was the first time that I was able to drink it there. And so I'm sitting there with my beer, and I'm sipping it like it's a whiskey for hours probably. And my cousin Chris is sitting next to me. He goes, hey, is that your beer? Yeah, it's my beer. Well, then why don't you drink it? Okay. So down it went, and down went the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and then I woke up in the morning because I was freezing cold, and it was pouring down rain, and I was covered in my puke, And for some reason, my hand was stuck to my head because my cousin Heather thought it would be funny to paint my fingernails. Looking back, I know my cousins were probably just trying to teach me a lesson. This is what happens when you drink. Kind of backfired on them, though, because I drank like that for the rest of my life, rest of my drinking career. Started drinking with friends in high school, and then my grandfather passed away, which was really close to me. My mom's dad, her parents had a little spot, a little mobile home cut in on our property, and so pretty much grew up with grandma and grandpa right there. So he passed away, like I said, and that hit me pretty hard, and that was a turning point for me. That's when I gave up on God and completely lost all knowledge of what he was and was just mad from then on out. Like I said, started drinking more and more with friends from high school. We ended up going to TJ on the weekend a few times, and then one time it was my turn to drive, and I couldn't fit everybody in my little two-door Ranger, so I talked my mom into letting me take her car, and poor mom, the only brand new car she's ever had. It's an 87 Jeep Cherokee, 4x4, stick shift, straight six. It's just a beautiful car. So I drive the thing down and pick up all my friends, and we go down to Mexico. We stop on the duty-free side, and we walk across, go to the bar, and I drink like just no thought of somebody has to get my mom's car home at some point. So, of course, when we get back to the car, I'm in no condition to drive. My friend, he starts driving, and we're dropping everybody off on the way home. I live furthest out away from everybody, and we get to my friend Joel's house, and he's the last one. I still had probably a half-hour drive from there. He even offers, you know, come, you know, crash on the couch. My parents are going to be mad, but you shouldn't be driving. And I'm like, no, I'm not drunk anymore. I'm just tired. So about halfway home, I pass out, wake up right before I hit the embankment, flip the car on its hood and spin around, and caught my first DUI. Blew a .08, but at 19, doesn't matter. And just kind of kept drinking like that for a while, because at that point I had no license. I was working for my dad right out of high school. And right around 2006, my dad was trying to get out of construction, and a former employee of his wife is from this area. When I graduated high school, his former employee moved up here and started his own business. And then, like I said, about 2006, I came up here and went to work for him. I was up here for about 2 years before I got into even more trouble, just couldn't stop drinking. It just kept perpetuating. And mom and dad came and rescued me and took me home. My dad was trying to get out of construction, and him and my eldest brother had a plan to do something. They weren't quite sure what yet. But in those 2 years when I was up here, they flipped a few houses and they built up some equity. They both took seconds out on their house and they bought a bar. So when I moved back down to San Diego, when my parents rescued me, I helped them remodel the bar, and my brother and my dad, it's weird that they went into business together, because they never got along. My brother got kicked out when he was 18 after a fist fight with my dad. And then during the remodel period of the bar, my dad and my brother were arguing, and I'd had enough at that point, and I got up and picked up my tools and started walking out. And they both, you know, asked me, where are you going? And I told them, I can't take this anymore. If you two can't get along, none of this is going to work out, and nobody's going to work for you. And I should have listened to my own advice. But the bar opened, and I went to work, checking IDs, and then end up being the morning bartender. You know, great place for an alcoholic to work. Just alcohol just steamrolled after that. The bar was open a little over a year before my parents. They already weren't doing real well. Part of the things that set me off when I was still up here those couple of years is finding out that they weren't even sleeping in the same room. And that was just another excuse, something to drink at. So again, back to the bar. It was open for about a year, and they weren't doing it much better. My brother and my dad were still arguing all the time, and my dad was tired of it, and the only way he saw out of it was just to walk away from everything. So he divorced my mom, gave her the house, their half of the bar, and all the debt that that entailed to help open the bar. And so he, you know, he's out of the picture. Mom went pretty deep into depression at that point. I was, of course, living with her. Came home one morning, and she noticed she was kind of sleeping late, and checked on her and found a empty bottle of wine on her nightstand, empty bottle of pills, and a note. And what I thought was her lifeless body. She barely had a pulse. So I called 911, got her the help that she needed. And I'm still working at the bar, but I'm falling deeper into depression myself. And I end up having enough myself. I end up catching my second DUI, leaving the bar one night. I get on the freeway, and right as soon as I get on the freeway, I know I'm like, I'm not going to make it. And so I go to pull off the freeway, pull across like four lanes, and the cops light me up. And again, at that point, you know, me and my brother were starting to get into it, and I end up just walking away from him. I quit the bar, and just more and more demoralization. Then, so it's just my mom and my brother at the bar at this point. I'm not doing anything, a few little side work here and there, but just doing what I can just to drink. One more time, my mom was laid up real late in the morning, and I kept checking on her, making sure she didn't take anything again. She told me, no, I'm fine. I was just up late at the bar and arguing with your brother. I'm fine. I'm just tired. And I'm like, okay. You know, so I left it be. And I'm close by, but downstairs in the garage, and I could hear the master bedroom is right up above. And my brother calls her, and I could hear his voice yelling through over the cell phone from that far away. And she's saying, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. So I go up there, and she's like, Zach's coming over. And I made a decision right there that I had had enough. All the pain that I had felt inside, the pain that I saw my mother going through. And when my brother showed up that day, we had an altercation, and I ended up shooting my brother. So because of the character witness letters about me, about my brother and how he was, I got off with the assault with a firearm, and I did a county year with a 10-year suspended sentence, which for those of you that don't know, is I'm still on probation, and I've got a 10-year sentence hanging over my head that if I mess up on probation, I get served that 10 years. Shortly after that, I get my third DUI in a blackout. I go over to a friend's house and remember smoking one bowl with him and taking one shot. And I kind of almost remember laying in the street. I was on a little motorbike. And then I woke up in the hospital. Broke my leg, fractured my orbital. I don't even know what my BAC was, but it had to have been really high because I got to my friend's house sometime at 9 o'clock in the morning, and this happened late, like 9, 10 p.m. So I'd been drinking all day and probably didn't have any food, and just, so at this point, they just continued me on probation with a regular DUI, and my mom wasn't seeing any income from the bar to pay for her mortgage, which helped open the bar. And so she had had enough herself, and she sold the bar and the house and moved us all out to Vegas. Grandma was living with us as well at that time. My middle brother still lives out in Vegas, and his kids. So we went out there to be close to family. I was out there for about 2 years before alcohol caught up to me again. and I got caught with alcohol in my room. I was on secondary probation because I was still on probation in San Diego. But additional, in Nevada, they were just overseeing me. Got caught with alcohol and ultimately had to go back in front of the judge, and the judge gave me the 10 years, rightfully so. And I was scared to death to actually go upstate to prison. I thought my life was over. I thought I was going to be an old man by the time I got out, and I wouldn't be able to make a living, or, you know, I had no idea what was going on. And it took me a couple of years sitting there stewing in my own head, sober, relatively sober. I dipped a little bit the first few years, but it took those 2 years. Then I finally got honest with myself, stopped blaming other people and other things, and worked on myself. Got a hold of every self-help book that I could get, got myself into every program that I could get my hands on, got my first chance at real sobriety, got into AA in there. I'm still in contact with some of those fellows. I've had some of the best time of my life in prison. And it sounds so weird saying that, but it was because I was sober. You know, that's it. So I paroled at the end of 19. I got out and I was able to transfer my probation up here to back to Santa Maria and go to work for my former boss again. I was very afraid that I was going to fall back into alcoholism early on, but I didn't seek out AA or any sort of program like that. I did everything that they asked me to. There was anger management, substance abuse. I was going to college, and I was seeing a counselor through college as well. And eventually, I thought I was fixed, and I didn't need to see a counselor anymore. Told her, you know what, I think I'm good. And I was exercising, you know, hiking and kayaking and doing all sorts of things for self. And slowly, life crept up on me and just became too much. And on my 40th birthday, I decided I'm going to smoke weed. I'm not going to drink, didn't have any desire to, but weed's okay. It's legal now. So I did that, and that was in 20 at the 22, excuse me, was my 40th birthday. Into that year, I was out in Vegas for Thanksgiving, visiting my brother. And he was asking me before I left, him and I chatting, he'd asked me about my sobriety and how I'm doing. And even then, I had no desire to drink. You know, I told him I was smoking a little bit of weed, but that was it. And left his house for the airport, went through security and up to the gate. And there was a beer vendor there, and like muscle memory, went up, give me a beer, give me another beer. On the flight home, give me a double Jack and Coke. Picked myself up a six pack on the way home, and I kept it to myself. I didn't seek help. I hid it from my girlfriend at the time, and that kind of stayed like that for a little while. And over a 2 year period, it slowly trickled more into mainstream of my life, became the secret habit of mine, a secret little treat for myself, to doing it all the time, every day, to doing it in the morning just to keep the shakes away. And beginning of last year, broke up with my girlfriend, which wasn't right for me, but that she wasn't the problem, of course. And after she left, I went downhill real quick, even worse, drinking all day at work, and finally caught up to me, and I got my fourth DUI. Coming home from work, driving the company car, and came out of a blackout just before an intersection, and tried to miss the cars that were stopped and peeled off to the right, and hit a car, slid across the intersection, hit a whole family. The father was driving, two little boys, 3 and 5 year old, were in the back seat, and the pregnant mother was up front. Thank God they weren't hurt any more than minor seatbelt bruising. But that put me in a really deep depression. I was extremely suicidal when I got out of prison or got out of jail that time. And for some reason knew I had to go to AA. Like there was no other choice. And for the first time in my life, started hearing things, started hearing people tell my story, started hearing what it means to be an alcoholic. And I related so deeply. I felt welcome in these rooms. And like I said, I've never felt welcome or a part of my entire life. Since I've been in AA, my entire life has made sense. Why I made certain decisions, why I felt a certain way, why I did what I did. Right away, I got a sponsor, or he got me, actually. And I had no will or no fight left into me. I just said, okay, yes, I'll, you could be my sponsor. Tell me what to do, because I have no idea what to do. Gave me a few assignments, read this, read you know, Bill's story, the doctor's opinion, and we started working. And slowly, I got, you know, the shakes went away, and I got more sober, and I started to learn. I got as many commitments as I could handle. I still have, I think, 5 weekly ones. I don't know, I'd have to count them up. And then our monthly speaker meeting, of course. And I don't feel right if I don't come to a meeting. I travel for work occasionally. I'm going up to Reading next week. And I'm going to miss my meetings, miss my people. So yeah, I think that's all I got. Thank you for listening. Cody Alcoholic.
I would like to, I'm the leader, so I can do what I want. Can we sing happy birthday to you? Is that okay? Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.